Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
To the Savage Nation, the American street is joyous. The American street is celebrating. The American street hasn't felt as good in many, many a decade. Now, some will ask, and I'm not one of them, where is Osama's death certificate? But we should take a collective deep breath and celebrate the U.S. Navy SEALs and tip our hat to the Obama administration for a job well done. He did something that Bush didn't do, that Bush wanted to do, that he said he would do. And we have to give him credit for that. And I'm very happy today, frankly, that the Hitler of our time is dead. This was a man who was the incarnation of pure evil. He killed Muslims, Christians, Jews, Hindus, atheists, agnostics indiscriminately. He was a mass murderer, a psychopath who couched his madness in a religion. And we must give credit to the fighting men of the U.S. military, especially the Navy SEALs that went in there and took this bastard out. But we must also give Obama his due. Remember, it was Obama who ordered this mission and made it a priority. Bush never made it a priority. In fact, just 6 months after 9/11, Bush said he didn't spend much time thinking about him anymore. Any Republican who attacks Obama now is a fool. Now, I have called Obama a Marxist on this program, and I stand by those words. But maybe it took a Marxist to take out an Islamic terrorist. This is a huge victory for the United States of America, and the American street is celebrating. It does change the political landscape dramatically. Much of the Republican leadership assumed they could ride the wave of the Tea Party and continue fooling the people and cruising through the White House in 2012. Their disarray was apparent even before this, but now they've been trumped by Obama. Now, there still are questions that must be answered. Why did they insist on disposing of his body by Islamic custom? Is burial at sea really allowed by Islamic tradition? What is the goal of American troops in Afghanistan now? Should we stay there? Will they finally release the picture of his dead body? But the key point is this. It is a day of triumph. Obama must be given his due, and America has achieved victory. No question about it. The American street is celebrating. The American street is joyous. And let me tell you something else. All the sleeper cells in America right now are scared. Don't sit there and be afraid of the boogeyman. They understand that this administration is hunting them down, looking for them. They know where they're hiding, and they're probably going to kill them next. Let me tell you something else. If they got Osama bin Laden, they're going to get the terrorists who are hiding amongst us in this country, and they know it. For a long while, we weren't sure where Obama was coming from. Whether he was truly loyal to America, et cetera. Now, we can ask 100 questions. The timing, for example. Why all of a sudden on a Sunday evening? He had the chance to knock him out before. We learned that he could have done it last March. Why all of a sudden now? I mean, you can come up with all sorts of ideas and theories as to why. I can't second guess the military nor the political establishment as to why. You could argue, for example, that it was a double knockout. He knocked out Trump last week with the release of the long-form birth certificate, which whether or not you accept it is the end of the game for the doubters. No matter what you say, it's the end of the road for that road. It's just a dead end. Now on Sunday night after the White House correspondence dinner, he comes up with knocking out Osama bin Laden on Sunday night. It's a very strange set of circumstances. Why? Now, I'm going to tell you something that I've been thinking about. I know it's off the wall, but it's the way my mind works. No one will agree with me. What was in the news from Friday through Sunday? What was in the news nonstop? What did the vermin in the media continue to cover? What were the idiots in the media continuing to yak about? The royal wedding. The royal wedding. The royal wedding. In fact, I had to take Friday off because I didn't want to even talk about these leeches as far as I'm concerned. Just leeches. I didn't want to talk about it. I was fed up with it. And so think about this. Who was not invited to the royal wedding? Who amongst the world leaders was not invited? Barack Hussein Obama. Barack Hussein Obama was not invited by the British. Apparently, they were mad that he gave back the bust of Winston Churchill. And so they pulled a snit attack on him. They tried to get snotty with Obama, didn't they? And what did Obama do? He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to knock the wedding off the headlines. I mean, he could have done it Monday, could have done it Tuesday, could have done it last week. So it's an idea. I mean, it's not really that important, truthfully, but it's something to think about. Now, if you want to talk about the serious aspects of this death of Osama, we can do it. Nobody that I have spoken with says this is going to end the war on terror. The Israelis know that you have to keep going after them. It's a daily fight. It's a 24/7 fight. There are an awful lot of them, and it's a war of civilizations. No matter what the president has said, we may not be at war with Islam, but there's a significant faction of Islamic radicals who are at war with us. They want to drag us back 1,000 years. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. Now, as far as burying him at sea, I understand they didn't want to bury him on the land because then it would have become a shrine. And I understand that there were reasons to do so. But until we and the world sees the actual picture of his corpse with the two bullets that allegedly were shot into this arch terrorist's head, there will be conspiracy theorists and theories that circulate. And I think it's imperative that the president release the picture. We can get into the politics of it. Will he now dangle us with this until the election and suddenly pull it out of his chest, out of his vest pocket around the time of the election? Who knows? There are other questions to raise that are clearly political on the Savage Nation, and who else but me should raise them? The answer is nobody. Does the death of Bin Laden end the Republicans' chances in 2012? Huh? Do you actually fear a retribution attack from Al-Qaeda? Is it time to pull out of Afghanistan? What needs to be done now to destroy the remnants of Al-Qaeda? Should the White House immediately release the photo of OBL's corpse? Do you really believe he was buried at sea? Huh? And should Islamic law have been observed in dealing with Osama bin Laden's corpse? I'm asking these questions. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. We can take some callers. Okay. Rashid in Houston, welcome. You're the first up. What's on your mind?
Hey, this is Rashid. Thanks for taking me. I want to give a comment on the burial. My father is Muslim and my mom is Christian, and I was raised as a Christian. And I think Obama being in the same kind of family background, I think he might just have a sensitivity, as I do, to the Islamic culture. I don't believe in what they do. I don't believe some of my dad, all my dad does, but I just have a respect out of it because of my father. But I think Obama maybe in this case was sensitive to it as well because of his father's background. And then that was
seven. Yeah, but wait, we're going too much into his background and Islam. The man was an arch terrorist who's been hunting down Americans for 20 years. What does that have to do with Islam?
Well, I think.
Why should we respect his religious beliefs?
Well,
I mean, there are some who argued he should have been chopped up and fed to pigs in the videotape released to the world. Well, what is this sensitivity to his religious beliefs? I don't understand it personally. Let me ask you something. In World War II, after Hitler was killed in his bunker, or killed himself, rather, should he have been given a Christian burial by the Russians?
Well, I don't have an opinion on that right now, but I do think that...
Why do we owe a man who has caused such hatred and damage and death and destruction any kind of respect is what I'm asking.
Well,
why? I mean, where is it written that when you kill him, you're supposed to respect his customs? Did he respect our civilization and our customs? No.
No, he didn't.
Did he respect any of the Christian customs? No. He killed children, men, women. He killed Hindus. He killed other Muslims. Why? See, I personally don't believe that his Islamic faith had anything to do with his madness. I think the man was a serial murderer, a mass murderer, and I think he couched his insanity in Islam. I mean, if you want to look at it from the point of view of religion, the religion had nothing to do with his hatred. He was a mass murderer who couched his insanity inside of Islam. If anything, he shouldn't even be associated with Islam. That's one man's opinion. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Now, I believe the government has to release the videotape of the a corpse and of the burial at sea. It has to be released. Because conspiracy theories will abound, no matter what they do, by the way. There are individuals who are still insisting that the 9/11 attacks were done by George Bush. I mean, it's crazy, okay? So no matter what they do, people are going to say, well, they adjusted the tape and blah, blah, blah. I think they need to do it. No matter what they do, it's not going to end with the tapes. Because people are going to continue to spin their tales of his survival or his trickery and that he's still alive. You know, there are people to this day who say Hitler was alive for 40 years, rather, after 1945. Don't you remember that went on? Hitler was really alive living in Argentina running a Hofbräu. Hitler was really alive and he had become a tailor in New York. I mean, come on, it went on for 40 years. So don't think it's going to end no matter what the government does. Nevertheless, it would put most sane people's questions to rest. I mean, I was quite thrilled to hear he was dead, but skeptical. I'm a born skeptic. I don't trust this government any more than I trust any government. And I certainly don't trust the U.S. media, which I think is the worst on the planet. So the first instinct was, great, I'm glad they killed him. I feel better tonight. I felt great. It was a great night for America. Frankly, I was proud of the president. I thought he gave a brilliant speech. I thought it was the best speech he's ever given, which we're going to play for you today. I thought he did a superb job in the speech. I was thrilled to hear it. I mean, I put aside all my political biases, and I listened, and I felt great. I said, because they killed the head of the snake. Okay, you know, the old adage, you kill the head of the snake, where's the snake going to go? It's going to grow another head? It's not going to grow another head. And all of the mini-terrorists, the mini-me's running around, sure, they're going to try and set off bombs and whatnot and do random acts of violence. They will do it around the world. But they're not going to do it in a coordinated fashion. They're never going to bring down another tower. They're never going to bring down another plane, so far as I can tell. It's highly unlikely they're going to bring down another building. They're under scrutiny right now, and they're running scared. Let me tell you something. They're running scared. They know they're next. If they get Osama bin Laden, they get any one of them. And all of that BS we've been hearing coming out of their lousy, filthy mouths is going to come to an end. Okay, I'll tell you who else is on their list. You know, Zawahiri's number two. You think he's suddenly going to be emboldened? I don't think so. How about an American, whatever his name is? The one from Los Angeles with that big next. All those hate messages they've been sending. So they're all running scared. They're not sitting here, you know, basically disrespecting America and the American military so much anymore. But it's not going to put an end to the theories. And not everyone believes bin Laden is really dead. There's going to always be disbelievers. Pakistan already is saying he's not dead, that they made it up. The Pakistanis are saying, no, it didn't really happen. And the DNA match, people already saying it was planted. Here's one already. Selma in New York on WR. Selma, go ahead, please. You say it's not true.
Hello, Mike. The bottom line is that diminishing of our president's viability for candidacy as the president again has been diminished. And I believe because he ran as a president of peace and instead he aggrandized the war in Afghanistan.
Wait, back up for a minute. Let's start with at the top of this. You don't believe Osama bin Laden's dead?
No, absolutely not. I believe that there was, somehow they made some sort of a deal, and this is the deal I suggest happened. Because
Wait, I don't want to hear what you think happened. Please, I don't want to go down this road again. I can't take it. Can't you understand that sometimes your worst political opponent does something right? Are you there?
I'm here, Mike. I'm here, but you don't like...
So you can't believe that although you despise Obama's social policies, you can't believe he did the right thing here?
No, I don't believe, simply because I believe, you know, your genetic makeup can be harvested and planted anywhere. They eliminated the body overnight. As a Jewish person, I know that we do that.
All right, thanks for the call. I can't take it. I don't care what kind of person you are. I'm sorry you even added that, frankly. I mean, as a lunatic person, you should have added. Maybe as a witch, practicing witchcraft in your kitchen and your kachalain. I can't take it anymore. Can't you celebrate anything that the man does? Anything? Everything he does is a conspiracy and wrong. Kansas City, Kevin, your opinion counts. You're on the Savage Nation.
That last caller kind of is a little something that I think is on its way out, meaning this could be an event that brings everybody a little bit more to the center. In other words, the bad guys aren't always so bad, and the good guys aren't necessarily so good, and everybody's kind of starting to look at the fence at each other.
I think Obama may be moving to the center. I think he woke up from his college reverie, don't you?
He may have the feeling of...
I think that the longer Obama's been exposed to the data that the military's been putting before him, even his Muslim sensitivities were awakened to the fact that he had to get this arch terrorist. And I believe he's moving. First of all, we know he's moving to the center, which is evidenced by the radical left hating him because he's not enough of a communist. So he understands he wants to get reelected. And in order to do so, he has to appeal to the American people. So he has moved to the center. But that's only part of the equation. The rest of the equation is that Obama himself, who came in kind of a wild-eyed radical Marxist, maybe even he is awakened to the threat to our civilization by these radicals.
Well, he's got a few gray hairs to show that he hasn't been just staring out the window since he's been in office. And
right.
Things do happen. He can see the light of the other side. Like I said, folks may take even just one moment to look over the fence and see the other person. Me, personally, as of a conservative nature, first thing I heard, they dumped the body right away. I stop. I go, okay.
Right, exactly. I don't go for the immediate autopsy. And the immediate burial at sea. I don't believe that. I've seen this before. But remember, they even showed the pictures of Saddam Hussein in his death. They showed Saddam Hussein's sons after embalming. So why are they holding this back?
We got something done. You know,
we got something done. Show us the trophy. The world must see the trophy of this arch terrorist's corpse. And the videotape, if you don't mind. Charge for it.
Savage.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men, women, and children. For over two decades, bin Laden has been Al-Qaeda's leader and symbol, and has continued to plot attacks against our country and our friends and allies. The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
All right, still not enough for many Americans. They've gone from birthers to deathers in only one day. That's from my producer, Beowulf Rocklin. We've had the birthers for years, now we're going to have the deathers. Overnight switched right away. So here we are. By the way, went from a mansion in a near Islamabad to a compound. Looks like a junk house. I spent enough years in the third world to tell you I wouldn't have wanted to spend one night in that junk house. A garbage cinder block house in the middle of nowhere is no way that I would like to live. To me, a cave would be better than what he was living in. But look, let's look at the real picture. They came in. It shows you the walls and the security gates. They want to get you. They're going to get you. Like Al Capone. What did they say? There's no way to protect against the hit. Period. End of story. If they want to get you, they're going to get you no matter who you are. I mean, this guy was guarded like was he guarded as well as a world leader? I really don't know, but certainly this was great. So now we no longer have any doubts about Leon Panetta. Remember when he came in, we said he had no experience? Well, all right. I guess he had enough experience to kill bin Laden using Bush's interrogation tactics, yes. So this is really, you say, well, who should get credit? It doesn't matter. At a certain point, you have to stop the partisan politics. I still disagree with Obama on social issues, from economics all the way down to illegal immigration. But this is not a day to discuss those issues. This is a day to celebrate the unity of both let's say both parties, in the sense that it was Bush and Bush's waterboarding tactics from those years that got the information that led to the intelligence that led to his killing. And let's not forget the Navy SEALs. They haven't stopped training, have they? I mean, for a long while, we started to fear the whole military was in disarray under Obama. We started to fear that he was destroying the military. And this is very good news because the American street is celebrating. I don't care about the Arab street. I'm sick of it. I, for one, don't give a damn what Al Jazeera shows me. I may as well be watching Gestapo television for all they broadcast day and night, their propaganda, their hateful propaganda on CNN. I hate it. I don't ever want to see it in my country. I'm not interested in their viewpoint. Let them be concerned with the American street. And now the American street has something to celebrate, and we should all be celebrating. That doesn't mean you have to, because you celebrate the death of Osama bin Laden, doesn't mean you embrace Obama's social policies. Use your head. It's not all or nothing. This is what I'm trying to do today as a teacher. Remember, I am a former teacher. I'm a former teacher. I'm a former social worker. I've been in radio for 17, 18 years. I don't even know how long already. My whole life, it seems. I'm still a teacher. It's a day to celebrate, a day to come together as an American, and you could still have a healthy disregard for Obama's Marxist social policies. It doesn't mean a Marxist isn't a good war leader. Apparently, he's pretty good. He got the job done. Give him the credit for that. Now, as far as Pakistan goes, there's no question they were hiding him. They didn't miss the hideaway. They knew he was there. He was living on a compound protected by the Pakistani military. It's where the retired Pakistani generals live, for God's sakes. You know? So, we don't know what's coming tomorrow. We can celebrate today and tomorrow have a tragedy on our hands. So what are we going to do with Pakistan now? They're a nuclear power. They're fundamentally playing both sides against the middle to get our, not only to get our billions of dollars in aid that we're sending them and our weaponry, but they're harboring, they were harboring him. Where's the Wahiri is there too? Who else is there? Who else is in that so-called compound? I'm shocked, by the way, the pictures that are coming out of the war room that Biden was awake and looked actually like he was half awake and paying attention. You know, when you look at the pictures that are showing up in the war room last night, were they watching it in real time? It looks like in a movie. You mean some of the SEALs had it on their helmets, like a video camera of the shootout? Unbelievable. You know that I have a solution. I don't mean to become comedic in the political arena, but I can't help it at times. I have a solution to straighten out the budget mess. And I think we could wipe out the deficit if the Obama administration were to release the videotape of the shootout and the burial at sea and do a pay-per-view. The government could wipe out the national debt. Release it worldwide. $39.99. It would be bigger than any WWF, any cage fight, any boxing match, Pacquiao, you name it. $39.99. They could wipe out the national debt with that one. Okay? Now let's take the callers. Sacramento Tom, you're on the Savage Nation. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
I'd like to make a comment about the fact that I think he's going to release the pictures when it damn suits his political career. Remember who's in charge here. These people know how to use a crisis.
Having said that, and given that all presidents and all politicians are politicians, didn't George Bush go on the aircraft carrier and say, a mission accomplished?
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that this is what they're going to do. At least.
Look, guys, let me instruct you in some way to handle this, because many of you don't know where to go with this. You're afraid that if you say Obama did a good job, that the liberals win and then you have nowhere to go. Let me explain something to you. You have to show your class and your dignity. You have to say Obama did a great job. I'm proud of him. I'm glad he did it, but I disagree with all of his social policies, from the economics to from his economic policies, his taxation policies, to Obamacare, to illegal immigration. Doesn't mean it's all or nothing. You can continue to have disagreements about all of his other policies. It doesn't mean you embrace them. You know, the biggest irony here to me is that all of the anti-war, anti-violence liberals who taught their children not to hit back, all of them who say, don't hit back, I don't believe in guns, I don't believe in war, they're all celebrating all of a sudden the death of Obama. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I noticed it. Look at the time.
Well, say that to them. Say, wait a minute, I thought yesterday you were anti-war, anti-military, anti-violence, and against guns. So now you're celebrating Obama's use of violence and the military and guns? I'm glad to see you've come over to my side. There's a lot of ways to handle this, guys. It's not all or nothing. We're going to get the birthers going to deathers in one day. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. There's a lot to talk about. There's an awful lot to talk about. Give the man credit. We know they were based on Bush's interrogation policies. We don't have to take that call. We've all read the same websites. We've already heard the other shows. You know, Sacramento, Emily. Sacramento's a big affiliate of mine. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I think this is all too convenient for...
Excuse me. Well, convenient for too convenient for who? Hello? Okay, so we had a deather who was reading a script. We just had a deather reading her husband's script. She said, "What'd you say, honey?" And bing. Then she got to and dropped the phone. Wisconsin Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation. I, for one, am elated. I'm glad he's dead, aren't you?
Hi, Mike. Brian from Wisconsin. Hey, I just want to say that I'm glad Obama threw the book out the window on the rules of engagement. And,
right. And violated Pakistan's sovereignty, blah, 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 and did it. I don't care if it was political. Sometimes, for the most naked political reason, they do the right thing.
Mike, I don't agree with Obama's political issues. I don't agree with it, but I'm glad he used common sense.
That's exactly what I'm trying to tell people. It doesn't mean because you celebrate Obama's killing of Osama bin Laden that suddenly you embrace Obamacare and all of his other radical social policies. They're not the same thing. Thank you for the call. I you can separate this issue from all the other disagreements you have. In fact, you can even have a more vigorous debate with your liberal cohorts by saying to them, as I told you, wait a minute, yesterday you were anti-war, anti-military, anti-gun, anti-violence, and now all of a sudden you're celebrating war, violence, and guns? Where are you coming from? Aren't you confused, Mr. Liberal? Hey, there's a lot of ways to handle this, and we're handling it today on the Savage Nation. Austin, Texas. Andy, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you know, they need to remember a good thing is a good thing. I mean, sometimes good people or the bad people will do something good, and this is what it is. He's rid the world of vermin.
That's right.
That's it.
Now, that's right. That's all. See, I don't even look at politicians necessarily as good or evil. I look at them as naked opportunists. I don't even think there's any judgment as to their character. We know who they are. They're actors, and they'll do whatever's necessary to get reelected. So given that that's the fact, there's not good or evil involved, by and large. Now, Osama bin Laden was pure evil. Wouldn't you agree there wasn't a scintilla of grace in this man or goodness? He was a mass-murdering psychopath who hid his murderous nature inside of Islam's cloaks, is how I see it. I wouldn't even connect him to Islam. Thanks for the call. That's my viewpoint. The question now is, how do you bury the rest of Al-Qaeda? How do you get rid of the rest of them? Okay? Now, here's the good news. The SEALs were in there, and they took out hard drives. They seized electronics. They seized computer hard drives. Believe me, the sleepers amongst us are now in shock in America. They are frightened. All of the big mouths running around New York, all of the big mouths shooting their mouths off against America, they're going to shut their filthy pie holes now. I guarantee you that all the rhetoric against our country, they're going to shut their filthy mouths now. You're not going to hear them running around with their big traps shooting off because they're afraid they're in the sights of this government, as they should be. I throw them all out of the country, the haters of this country. So you're not going to hear any more of that big mouth hating America in this country. You're not going to hear as much of it, I can guarantee you. Because you know why? Because you'll write down the name of the cab driver's license and send it to the FBI. How do you like that? Go ahead, write it down. The next one who shoots his mouth off against America or suddenly comes out and says, oh, they shouldn't have killed him, he was my hero. Write down his name and address, send it to the FBI. Assist this government. Maybe they'll be next to be put up. I think this is a turning point, by the way, because I'll tell you two reasons. One, it is. And two, Obama's going to get such a surge in the polls that he's going to go after Zawahiri, and he's going to go after that freak from Southern California, that American backstabber, I forget his name, I don't even want to know it, who came from some rotten, stinking farm and turned against us with all of his hate. He's going to go after them one by one, and he's going to milk it for all it's worth, and God bless him for doing it, and I'll be back.
Savage.
day to cheer. It's a great day to be an American. This is what the American street is thinking. Forget the Arab street. I'm sick of it. I never want to hear what the Arab street thinks. This is what the American street is feeling. Now, as I said to you, I disagree with the president's social policies, his economic policies, but God, give him some credit here. Give Bush some credit here. The enhanced questioning techniques, particularly waterboarding, allegedly led to this intelligence. And there's no question that it was an effort of many years and many minds, but the Navy SEALs did it. I really liked Obama's speech last night, but I didn't like him grandstanding, where he said he did it mostly on his own with a tiny bit of help from a few SEALs. I didn't like that part of it. And now, of course, in the next days, we're going to hear every politician in both parties telling us that they have some credit for this, and they're going to talk about how they're on top of security issues. No doubt Big Sis will get up there and tell us that she just come back from the alley last night, and she stopped in on it, and she had something to do with it. They were watching it on the feed with the item. Then Holder is going to get up and say that he's sorry that Osama bin Laden was killed and that he would have rather have tried him in a courthouse in New York City. If he was only given a chance, he would have brought him to justice. And Biden's going to no doubt be telling his grandchildren about his leadership role for another 20 years. But nevertheless, the fact of the matter is, let's take a deep breath as Americans, okay? Florida, Lloyd, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, my compliments to you. Unlike other right-wing talk show hosts, and I'm a right-winger, by the way, you are, and I hate to use this term, fair and balanced.
Well, I like your sensitivities to my particular problem with the Fox News Network. I don't see how anybody cannot celebrate this. I don't care who did it, how it was done. Hitler is dead. Okay, he was the Hitler of our time. I'll tell you who else is going to be running scared now that you mention it, Lloyd. Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad's going to suddenly stop shooting his mouth off about death to the Zionists, death to Israel, death to America. I can guarantee you, you're not going to hear much more of that out of him.
I have tears in my eyes when you played that with the SEALs and USA. God bless us all.
God bless us all. It's a great day to celebrate as Americans. Let's stop it, for God's sakes. And I'm trying to teach you something here. I'm instructing you as a former teacher. Please listen to me. You don't have to suddenly embrace all of Obama's social and economic policies. You can continue to disagree with them, detest them, fight against them, resist them. But you have to give him credit for having accomplished this on his watch. Please, for God's sakes, don't become a deather. Whatever you do, don't jump from being a birther to a deather. Don't, please. Okay? New York, W-O-R, Marie, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, it's nice to speak to you. I think that you're an absolute brilliant man. And I would love to be a little puppy dog and walk behind you and learn everything that you have in that.
That's very sweet of you, but listen to me. Don't you agree with me this is a good day for America?
No, I'm sorry, I don't. I see
Why?
Everybody celebrating, and I'm happy that people are feeling that way. But I can I also say that WOR is the best radio station in the nation.
No, I hear you. I love it. It's my favorite affiliate of all of my 310. I'm sorry to say it. It's not that it's the best station. KSTE in Sacramento, Texas, well, you name it, I got the greatest stations in the country. But let me tell you something. The passion that comes out of New York is a lot different than the other stations, Marie. I only hope you could take a deep breath and listen to what I'm saying. If you love me so much, will you do something for me? Embrace this victory. Celebrate with all of America. It does not mean that suddenly the liberals are right. It doesn't mean that at all. In fact, it shows them to be total hypocrites. Don't you get it? It shows the hypocrites to be total hypocrites. They're anti-war, anti-military, anti-gun, and anti-violence. They teach their children not to hit back. And now they're jumping for joy that Obama used violence, guns, and the military to kill the world's worst terrorist. So they're the ones that, hey, liberalism is a mental disorder. They don't know which way to turn, but give them credit. That's all. And we know that it's based on Bush's interrogation policies. Let's not take that call, for God's sakes. So who's Obama's next target? Who will be the next one to go? Will it be Zawahiri? I believe they could take out Ahmadinejad. And I'll tell you why I say that. Did you notice that Ahmadinejad was slapped down just last week by his own countrymen, his own fanatical imams, the ruling majority there that threw Iran back hundreds of years, that group of throwbacks? They distanced themselves from Ahmadinejad just last week. You know why? They are terrified that Israel or the U.S. is going to strike Iran because of the rhetoric of Ahmadinejad. And I believe that he is in the crosshairs. How would I know? Am I in some inner circle? I'm the most outside guy in the media. I have no friends in the government. I have no intelligence whatsoever with regard to government intelligence. I do this for a living. So I read everything I can get my hands on, and I use common sense. And then I use the steel trap that I have for a mind to come up with a conclusion. I believe he is definitely in the crosshairs of the administration. It'd be a great addition to the. It'd be a great gift to the world, by the way, if this hate America guy was suddenly sent back to Turkey, wherever he came from. Okay, 1-800-449-8255. Give him credit, for God's sakes. Give Obama credit. Doesn't matter whether he did it for political reasons. It doesn't mean you embrace all of his policies. We have a lot to talk about. But we shouldn't suddenly become these skeptics who say he didn't really do it. He's not really dead. Why'd they bury him at sea? It's silly, okay? Why he did this on Sunday night is a question that is worthy of discussion. You could say it was to get the royal wedding out of the news, as I said earlier, because they dissed him by not inviting him to the royal wedding, incidentally. This was very personal for Obama. He could have done it next week or last week. Why did he do it Sunday night? Okay? Think about it.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Absurdities already. He's not dead and this and that. The fact of the matter is the speech last night was excellent. The speechwriter gets a lot of credit. At least Obama looked like a president last night during the speech. He actually looked proud of himself. The fact of the matter is I could have done without the self-praise that he did it all on his own with a little help from the SEALs. You know what I mean? The fact of the matter is a great leader takes the blame for when things go wrong. And they do not take credit for what their subordinates do. So he's not a great leader, but the fact of the matter is it happened under his watch. Give him credit. That's number one. Many of you are bewildered because you say you don't like his social policies, you despise his economic policies, et cetera, and you can continue to do so while giving him credit for having been in office or conducting this. Give him credit for it, for God's sakes. Take a deep breath. Now you say, well, don't we run the risk of suddenly embracing his Marxism or his liberalism? No, not at all. You can give him credit for this, and you could say, I still disagree with him on Obamacare, on illegal immigrants, on all his other social policies, on his taxation, on how he's attacking the middle class. One has nothing to do with the other. It's not all or nothing. Number two, I think this shows the absurdity of liberalism in the sense that 2 days ago, they were anti-war, anti-gun, anti-military, anti-Navy SEAL. They taught their children not to hit. Now, all of a sudden, they're jumping for joy because he killed Osama bin Laden using guns and helicopters and the greatest military in the history of the universe. So it's their problem, not yours. Don't you understand it's a great day for the American street? Welcome to the Savage Nation. Whatever you do, don't become a deather. Last week you were a birther. Now you're going to switch and say, well, I didn't see the long-form death certificate. Therefore, it didn't happen. All right, let it go already, please. You know? Now, let's go to Obama's speech last night, and there's good and bad in it. You know? I think he did a very nice job, and I think that they're now running scared. I think Ahmadinejad's scared, Zawahiri's scared. All of the would-be wannabe terrorists in New York City, and they're running around there with their big mouths. They're shutting their big traps because they're afraid they're going to be next, that the American people are on to them, and they're going to be rounded up by the FBI, as they should be. It's a new day in America. Make no mistake about it. It's a new day in America. All the loudmouth Islamists running around the streets of America who last week were brazen and putting us down like we were a paper tiger, they're shutting their pie traps today. I can guarantee you they're running scared that they're going to be rounded up and deported. That's what's going on. This is a real achievement. It's an achievement for we the people. Going back to the Bush administration, the waterboarding got the intelligence, which got the information, which got the location. And then the Navy SEALs, God only knows, I mean, what these guys are made of. You can only guess what they're made of. It's coming out now who actually did it, and you'll never know them. Meet the Navy SEALs who killed Osama bin Laden. You don't want to know their names. You never will know their names. You don't want to know their names because their families would be threatened. The military team that killed him is an elite special forces group unofficially called SEAL Team 6. Who are they? Well, officially, the team's name is classified. It's not even available to the public, and officially there's no Team 6. It's a Tier 1 counterterrorism force similar to the Army's Delta Group, and Team 6's missions rarely make it to a newspaper, let alone to paper, period. The fact of the matter is Team 6 is front page news. The members of this team allegedly are all black operatives. What does that mean? They exist outside military protocol. They engage in ops that are at the highest level of classification, often outside the boundaries of international law. And to maintain plausible deniability in case they're captured and tortured, records of black ops are rarely, if ever, kept. Now, when did this team get developed? Well, let's not go into the history. It was in direct response to the 1980 attempt to rescue the American hostages held in Iran. And because it was such a big failure, there was a need for a dedicated counterterrorist team capable of operating with the utmost secrecy. The team was labeled Team 6 to confuse Soviet intelligence about the number of SEAL teams in operation at the time. I don't need to go into any more of this because the rest of it you could read. Let me end it with this. When a former Navy SEAL was called for a comment about this article, all he could say was, quote, "You know, I'd love to help you, man, but I can't say a word about Team 6. There is no Team 6. Let us celebrate as Americans today. The Arab street is in disarray. Their posturing is going to be, oh, sure, they're going to continue to hate you because there's a clash of civilizations. These throwbacks want to bring you back to the 15th, 14th, 13th, 12th, 11th, 10th, 9th century. Make no mistake about it, we're fighting for the survival of the world. Either we're going to be plunged into 1,000 years of darkness or we'll bring them into the future of lightness. It's that simple. Now I'll take your calls. 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. Jim in New York. On WOR, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Michael? I think this is a great day for America on both sides of the row, Republicans and Democrats. After all, both Republicans and Democrats died in the 9/11 tragedy. And it's about time America got to have a little revenge. It took a little bit of time, but, you know, I mean, it's not so much.
That's right. Let's not make a mistake about it. This was a pure revenge act. They could have captured him and brought him to justice and let Eric Holder have a circus in New York or Newark, but they chose to put two bullets in his head.
That's it. And when I chose to celebrate today, I came outside. I'm in the Catskills, and I shot 6 rounds from my shotgun the minute I heard.
I'm glad. I'm sure they heard it in Islamabad. They're very nice. Very nice. I'm sure the shot was heard around the world. So who is Obama's next target is another question. You don't have to suddenly become a liberal. Don't you understand that you can say, good job, Obama. Now move to the center on your taxation. Now move to the center on your socialized medicine. Now move to the center and listen to the American people. We don't want illegal immigrants given amnesty. Go down the list. You don't understand what I'm saying to you. It's not either or, you know. New York, Tom, WOR, again, go ahead. You're on the air. Tom, are you?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, why did he wait so long?
Why did who wait so long?
August. He knew about the compound, and he knew Osama was there. Why did he wait so long?
Well, there's the beginning of a whole novel you could write. A novel or a political thriller could be written about. What do I know? You could say it was political. He was in trouble politically, so he trounced Trump last week with the certificate. And now suddenly he did something else now to bounce back in the polls. Wait till you see the next Rasmussen or other poll that comes out. Wait till you see what it's going to be. He's going to go up 25 points from this.
Would you wait 8 months to do it?
Well, number one, let's say he had the intelligence 8 months ago, as you allege. You read that somewhere. Where'd you read it?
No, they're saying that on the news now.
All right, so they're saying it 8 months. So you ask, okay. Does that mean because you have the intelligence you can go in and kill?
No, but 8 months is a long time to get intelligence.
All right, so it raises the question of now. There was, of course, a political element. He's a politician. Of course there's a political consideration in the equation.
Thousands more could have died.
What?
Thousands more could have died.
But they didn't die.
Yeah.
They didn't die. Look, give credit where credit is due. For God's sakes, I'm already getting a headache now. SEALs had two rehearsals, Obama watch raid and Situation Room. And the beauty here is the picture that you're seeing now of the Situation Room that just came out is Biden's awake. This is astounding. He looks he ceases to look comatose. He looks semi-interested in the whole video of what's going on. And there's Clapper, the head of the NSA. He actually is smirking. It looks like he's actually awake and knows he has some semblance that he's inside a war room. It's pretty good. The one with the most cagey face is Secretary Gates and Hillary. Don't underestimate her. Obama definitely looks like he's crouching over and huddling. Admiral Mullen looks like they took off the usher's uniform. He looks like a different man. He looks like half the man. Who the children are in the back peering over the shoulder of some of the guys, I don't know who the children are. But the fact of the matter is, it's a good day for America. He was shot twice in the left side of the head. And did they capture anybody? I'd like to know. Did they drag any of his operatives home? You know, I'd like to know that. 22 people killed or captured. One of the dead, Osama bin Laden, the world's Hitler. And the SEALs did it. So apparently they replicated the one-acre compound that they attacked at Camp Alpha, a segregated section of Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, and trial runs were held in early April. This didn't happen overnight. Trial runs were held in early April. It's just coming out now. And so the question, here's a couple of questions militarily, okay? How did the helicopters that we used, that our men used, elude the Pakistani Air Defense Network? Did they override or spoof transponder codes? Were they painted and tricked out with Pakistan Air Force equipment? Okay, how did they do this? Because the Pakistanis were obviously hiding them in a top-secret military area that they hide other generals, Pakistani generals, you know. There's no question the CIA worked on this and that the intelligence was developed over a long period of time and that this is a very good day for America. It's a very beautiful day. The only people who are celebrating in America, the only people in America who are not celebrating are those who should be rounded up immediately and waterboarded. I'll be right back.
Now, you rarely talk or mention Osama bin Laden. Why is that?
Well, deep in my heart, I know the man's on the run, if he's alive at all. And who knows if he's hiding in some cave or not. We hadn't heard from him in a long time. So I don't know where he is. Nor do, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him. I'll be honest with you.
Finally, last week, I determined that we had enough intelligence to take action and authorized an operation to get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. Today, at my direction, the United States launched a targeted operation against that compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. A small team of Americans carried out the operation with extraordinary courage and capability. No Americans were harmed. They took care to avoid civilian casualties. After a firefight, they killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body.
All right, so we know the whole story, and there's going to be conspiracy theories, and there's going to be a lot of grumbling from people who despise Obama's social and economic policies, but you don't have to embrace his social and economic policies to give the man credit. Okay, give credit where credit is due. It's as simple as that. I mean, 100 questions, 1,000. 40 years after Hitler was dead, they were saying he was alive here and he was alive there. So I don't expect all of the doubting Thomases to suddenly go away. I mean, this is what happens. I personally believe the government will release, in part, a picture of his corpse. They're going to be very cautious about how to do it for fear that the fanatics, the throwbacks, those who want to drag the world into 1,000 years of darkness will exploit that photograph and make him into a martyr and make it into a poster, whatever. But the fact of the matter is we need the picture. You know how they use the word closure? You know how closure is used all the time? I don't go for the word myself, closure, schmosure. But that's a current parlance in the Western world. Everyone needs closure. They want to see the body. Well, we need closure in this case because the human being is naturally, by nature, a skeptic. The human mind is a skeptical organ. And as such, we need proof, some proof. There's never going to be 100% proof because unless you were there, and even if you were there, if you were a birther, now it's a deather. Where's the long-form death certificate? Was it really him? Was it a body double? Is he really working in Brooklyn in a rug store? Didn't I see him in Israel in a falafel shop? There'll be sightings of him from Moscow to Madagascar. That he was seen, a 6'6". He was walking around and he had plastic surgery. He's now dressed as a woman. He was in a burqa at Dulles International Airport. It's never going to end. It's just going to begin now. Okay, this is the way people are. They need entertainment. I would say, though, that the Navy SEALs should be given an increase in their budget by any amount that they want. Any amount that they want. And I think, by the way, if I had the ability, if we could raise money for the U.S. Navy SEALs, if they could even take it, we could raise $1 billion for the Navy SEALs over the next year across this country. There should be, instead of worrying about a tsunami in another country and giving to victims in this country and that country, let's start with our charity at home. The military is suffering from budget cuts. I think that we should raise money for the Navy SEALs. Someone more organized than I will probably do it. I don't need the credit for it. All I want to do is throw out the seed because in many ways that's all I do anyway is I throw a pebble into the quiet, calm pond and then the ripples spread. I don't need credit for it, okay? So here we are. Hitler is dead. I was asked for a quote this morning about this, what I thought about it from the wonderful Washington Times from my friend Jennifer Harper, and I sent it to them. I don't even know where I put it. I think it's in the monologue somewhere. Here it is. What did I say? Here it is. I said, he was the Adolf Hitler of our time. He was the boogeyman. He was the incarnation of pure evil, killing Muslims, Christians, Jews, Hindus, atheists, agnostics indiscriminately. Osama bin Laden was a mass murderer, a psychopath who couched his madness within a religion. I would not even associate him with Islam. How do you like that? And I'm as sensitive as you are to the fanatics within that religion who want us gone and want us converted. But I would not dignify Osama bin Laden and call him a Muslim, frankly. Nothing that he did should be wrapped in a religion. You know, there are psychopaths on the planet. There are mass murderers on the planet. Just as there are serial killers, there are mass murderers. They've been around through history. Maybe I should play Sympathy for the Devil for you in case you don't know it. The devil is alive and well. This man was an incarnation of pure evil. He was the devil. Now, he found a convenient way to hide his insanity and his madness, didn't he? He wrapped it in the rhetoric of some branch of Islam. I don't buy it.
Savage.
These were not just attacks against Americans, although we suffered grievous losses. These were attacks against the whole world. In London and Madrid, Bali, Istanbul, and many other places, innocent people, most of them Muslims, were targeted in markets and mosques, in subway stations, and on airplanes. each attack motivated by a violent ideology that holds no value for human life or regard for human dignity.
So it's a day to celebrate. Hitler is dead. The Hitler of our time, one of them anyway, is gone. And there's a few other in their crosshairs, as sure as I'm sitting here, because I saw the movements in the last few weeks. Did you notice, again, I want to go back to Iran, which threatens the stability of the Middle East and the world, mainly because of the fanatical mentality of Ahmadinejad. Even the mullahs distanced themselves in a power struggle about a week or 10 days ago, I remember. They had a big internal struggle, and they basically separated themselves from Ahmadinejad because they know that he's marginalized. He set Iran back. He's put women back 200 years. He's turned Iran back into a third world hellhole. He took an advanced Persian people and turned them into a laughing stock of the world. And so they realize that he's risking some kind of attack either by America or Israel or France. They saw after Libya what went on, that they could get hit. They don't want war on their soil. It would be very bad for them personally and very bad for the people of Iran. I'm sure they care less about the people of Iran than you may imagine. So they distance themselves. I think he's next to go. There's Wahiri, of course. Then there's that guy. I keep forgetting his name. Gadan, what an idiot from L.A., from a chicken ranch who went over there, became a big mouth. And also the secondary and tertiary benefits of this death, this killing, this assassination, this heroic act by our SEALs, this astonishing feat of military, unbelievable. You know, the MH-60 helicopters came from a Ghazi air base in Pakistan, which is amazing to me, which means that on one hand, the Pakistani government knew about it and that the Navy SEALs were flown in from Afghanistan. And they say that the navigators used highly classified hyperspectral imagers. I don't even know what that means. What is a hyperspectral imager? So the 40-minute firefight, 22 of the bad guys are killed or captured. Obama shot twice at a double tap, boom, boom, to the left side of his face. Then they grab his body. They take his body aboard one of the choppers that made the trip back. As you know by now, one of the helicopters had experienced so-called mechanical failure. I'm not sure if that's true. It could have been shot or incapacitated, and it was destroyed by U.S. forces. That's what the White House's official story. So then all the SEALs went back. Thank God none of them were injured, according to this story. And they brought his body back to the Vinson, the aircraft carrier. And allegedly they gave him a funeral, and then they buried him at sea. All right. They got to release the videotape to some extent, that we must have a picture of his dead. Look, they released a picture of Saddam and his death, right? They released pictures after an embalming, rather, of Saddam's two sons. They have to do this. They have to forget what the Arab street needs, because they need to release it for the American street. The people need, I'm going to use the word, I don't like using, closure. Remember, today is a day to celebrate. And again, remember, many of you are worried because you fear that if you go to, you meet your liberal friends or relatives, are going to say, aha, look at that, a liberal president did this. What do you got to say now, big mouth right winger? What you say is, what a great job the Navy SEALs did. I'm glad that Obama came to his senses and used the military. But I still disagree with everything Obama stands for, from his Obamacare to the illegal alien amnesty that he wants to give, the high taxation, go down the list if you wish. And moreover, let me ask you something, Mr. Liberal, you should say. You mean last week you were against guns, against violence, against the military, and now suddenly you're a gung-ho supporter of guns, violence, and military? I thought last week you told me you taught your children not to hit back. So listen to me. It doesn't negate your positions. It should strengthen your positions. In either case, let it go for a day. Take a deep breath. Celebrate. It's that simple. You know? New York, Mitch. WOR, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. I agree 100% with you that we still can disagree with our president, but he got this right, and thank goodness for the good people.
That's right. But people are afraid. They're so didactic that they're afraid that if they say he did anything right, that means they embrace everything of his, all his policies, rather.
Well, I mean, it's common sense. You got to give him credit. He was in the right place.
You give credit where credit is due. He did the right thing. I can guarantee you this. This is something you have to accept, everyone listening to the show. whether he deserves credit for it or not, what's important to know is it wouldn't have happened had he not given it a green light. That's a guarantee, okay? He could have said no to the mission, too. Do you know that back in Clinton's day, they had Osama bin Laden in their sights? Remember, we had a CIA guy on the show. I forget his name. Beowulf may remember. Scheuer was on. He said he was in the Osama bin Laden unit. They had him in their sights on video camera. He was on a hunting party somewhere in Afghanistan, I believe, or even at the time, I think it was Afghanistan. And he was targeted. They could have hit him with a drone. And Clinton said no. He was afraid of the collateral damage. You remember that, Mitch?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So ultimately, it was Obama's decision in that he is the commander-in-chief. He is the president. And it all came down to him. Did he say yes, no, thumbs up, thumbs down? He said yes. Give him credit, for God's sakes. Even Clinton lost his nerve. Florida, Antonio, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Michael. I just want to say that I'm totally impressed by you. When I turned on the radio and got to my car, it was around 6:35, and I was listening to you talk about Obama, and I haven't listened to you for a number of years. And, you know, you said it was right at the time when you said, you know, you've done social work, you've been a teacher, and basically you were going to put on your teacher's hat. And when you said that, and the next thing that came out of your mouth was, you know, you've got to respect the man for this, but you don't have to, if you disagree with the other, which that's okay.
Yes.
Not
that's
all
right. That's right. I'm a former teacher, so let me be a teacher talking to a class of millions. Of course you celebrate Obama's decision to say green light to the SEALs. Go ahead. But you still disagree with whatever you disagree with, his social policies, taxation, et cetera. Why do you have to embrace it all just because he did something right?
Well, you're absolutely correct. And I actually called my wife and told her, I was like, you know, she knows how much I enjoy your program, and I consider myself very conservative, and I don't care for Obama's the way he's
right. But many people don't have the bravery that it takes to say congratulations to someone you disagree with when they do something right. It does not mean that you embrace all of their policies. In fact, you can continue, as I keep saying over and over again, to disagree with his policies. See, people needed me today. You needed me very badly today, and I did my job, I think, so far as a former teacher to say to you, celebrate. Now, before I take a break, guys, let's play that wonderful soundbite of the Navy SEALs. God, did they need a shot in the arm. The whole military now is going to walk with a glint in their eye and more with more pride than you've seen in the last 10 years. The military has been beaten to death by the liberals and by the Arab street and the hateful media. Let's hear that cheering again right now. I want to hear it again. I want all my listeners. What a beautiful sound. Testosterone, male dominance, alpha males, murderers, killers. God bless them all. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So what's next? We know that Obama sent Fat Clemenza into the elevator with a double-barrel shotgun. We know that in the last week he took out most of his antagonists in a single week. There was Donald Trump. There was Gaddafi's immediate family. You know, I was very upset about him killing Gaddafi's grandchildren, to be honest with you, but he did it. And now, of course, it was all, you know, it's all forgotten with the execution of Osama bin Laden, the world's leading terrorist. Does it mean that the war against terror is over? Absolutely not. As the Israelis have said, they fight this battle 24/7, and they recognize that you have to go after them one by one. And of course, what they're also saying in Israel is interesting. They're saying, why is it that when Israel targeted their enemies, they were condemned by the world court, but that Obama targeted Osama, he's not being targeted by the world court? Why should the Israelis be condemned for targeting people who have conducted bombings in their own country, one after the other? And they send out very, very brave members of their own Delta Type Force or their own Mossad and go after them and kill them, whether it be here or there. But when Obama did it, why the world court suddenly isn't going to try him? They shouldn't try him. I say screw the world court, first of all. Who's the world court? A bunch of goofy college professors. Miami, Jason, welcome to the program. I take it you're not celebrating today, Jason, by the call?
Yes, yes. Well, there's no celebration, but I wanted to talk to you. Needs some advice. I work part-time in an Orthodox yeshiva, and we were talking about rejoicing and celebrating, and on the current segment, you were wearing your teacher's cap, so I was calling for some advice, and I was talking to...
Well, make it quick, okay? I don't need a whole lecture now, even though, with all due respect, you teach in a yeshiva. What's your main point?
Students were telling me that you should not rejoice in the death of an enemy. What do I tell these students to not rejoice?
Well, wait a minute. Well, who cares what the students say? What do they know? Do they fight for the country? Most of them hide anyway under a mattress in Israel. They don't fight for the country, so who are they to tell anyone anything?
This is what they're being taught by their rabbis. Now, I'm a secular teacher.
Well, then the rabbi's an idiot. How's that?
Well, what
does rabbi mean but teacher? Some teachers are smart and some are stupid.
What do
you I have a little dysfunction with the Orthodox in Israel. They're big on telling the Israelis how to run their life, but they don't fight in the military. Why is that?
That's a dilemma. That's a dilemma I'm trying to...
A dilemma? Yeah, it's a nice dilemma. They hide under their matzah, and then they tell the Israelis that don't rejoice in the death of your enemy. Why not?
Well,
maybe if they put on a uniform and fought for the country, they'd be a better Jew.
I totally agree that we should be...
All sorry. Right, so, look, tell the yeshiva boys that you can find a rule for everything on every direction in the holy books, because the holy books are a compendium of the writings over hundreds or thousands of years, written by various scholars. And they have a variety of opinions on everything. It doesn't mean that they're all valid. You can pick and choose what you want. As far as I'm concerned, you have to look at the five books of Moses. And even within the five books of Moses, there has been an entire renaissance within the views of them. You certainly don't kill adulterers, do you?
I just think that it's a dilemma that, all the hatred...
Dilemma is it's false teachings, that's all. Some rabbi wrote it 1,000 years ago. Rabbi Akiba wrote it, so therefore it's gospel? He was just another man. He was just another man. I think his view is wrong. I think there are times to rejoice in the death of your enemy.
All right.
That's my opinion. That's my opinion. What's yours? 1-800-449-8255. We have phenomenal stories on michaelsavage.com. I mean, you've seen them in some places, but I have been working since last night, and I found, I think, some that we've posted that no one has. Go over there and take it. Check it out for yourself. Before we move on, you have to understand you can give Obama kudos. Don't you understand? You don't have to embrace all of his social policies. You can continue to reject them. Why are you so limited in your mind that you think because you say he did a good job here, suddenly you embrace everything he does? You don't have to. You don't have to do that. Don't you have a relative in your family who you disagree with on everything, but once in a while he gets it right? And you say, you know, Uncle Joe, I got to tell you, we have fought for years over everything you've said, but tonight I have to say you did the right thing. But I still think you're a schmuck and you did everything. You're doing everything wrong. Take a breath, though. Enjoy Uncle Joe for one night, for God's sakes. You have to understand this was an effort of the entire government going back to Bush. If Bush had not gone after the terrorists in the way that he did, if Bush had not authorized waterboarding, the CIA of the past had not authorized waterboarding, we wouldn't have the intelligence upon which this particular act was based. Don't you understand? Mobile, Alabama. Karen, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I think that the reason that people are afraid, particularly conservatives or people on the right, are afraid to give Obama kudos is because the way the left will spin it, you know, the people that work for him will make him look like this great person, then everybody will go, oh, yeah, you know, we can
but
vote.
But again, use your intelligence. You can disagree with everything or some of the things he has proposed in his social policies, and there is much to criticize. I spent an entire book doing it in trickle-up poverty. That does not mean he didn't do the right thing here.
I agree that he did the right thing, but what I'm saying is the people tend to follow the mood of the country. If the mood of the country does...
So let him have some credit for a while. So he'll get a buoyancy in the polls, and then people will settle down again, and then they'll look hard again at the unemployment figures, the cost of gasoline, the fact that we have a runaway inflation, the currency is debased, the trade with China is imbalanced. We can go down the list. I don't want to do it right now. And they'll come to their senses in a month. The election's not for 2 years away? A year and a half away?
Yes.
Okay. That's a long way to go. Okay. This is going to give him an instant 20-point boost, and then people are going to settle down and say, but what about the crisis of our currency? What about this? What about that? But let him have the credit for now. And I'll tell you why you should. I'll give you another reason why. Because he is going to so enjoy the boost he got from being a macho commander-in-chief. He's going to so enjoy the surge in the polls he's bound to get from acting like a real wartime leader that he's liable to do it again and again and again. And that is good for we the people. That is great for we the people. I'd like to see him do one every month. One of the world's terrorists every month. I'd like to see next month a nice story comes out on a Sunday night that another wonderful loudmouth hater of America suddenly wound up with a double shot in the left side of his head. Okay? And then the month later, we got, what, 18 months to go till the election? I'd like to see 18 of the world's terrorists taken out one a month. Would be good for me. It'd be good for you. I slept better last night knowing that this mastermind of all of these horrendous attacks on innocent people was sent to hell where he belongs. You know, that's where he went. He went across the river Styx to hell. That's where he went. And it doesn't matter that Obama did it for his own political gain. It does not matter. Don't you understand? So celebrate in this. Again, there are many things that can be said that will be said over the next hours and months and days. Many of you don't want to give him any credit because he's such a horrible president on every other count. You know, Tucson, Arizona, Brian, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Michael, pleasure. It just occurs to me, sir, that I'm thinking maybe it's possible that his own organization outed him. I'm thinking maybe they might have got tired of having to take care of him.
Freaking who?
Support him in his freaking bin Laden. Probably got tired of having to deal with him and take care of him and support
what
him.
What do you mean? You think the Pakistani intelligence service, who's been harboring him, suddenly gave him up?
No, I think his own organization might have gave him up because they got tired of having to carry him.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't have any way to hazard a guess, but there was a $20 million bounty on him, wasn't there?
Well, I mean, it seems
How do you know the $20 million didn't change hands and go to some tribal chief? How do we know that? Who snuck a maid into the compound or a courier? How do we know the $20 million hasn't been quietly transferred to an offshore account to some tribal leader? We don't know any of this. We never will. This is the stuff that thrillers are based upon. You know, I'm already thinking of my next one. I got enough coming out with Abuse of Power in September. It's got to do with world terrorism and world terrorists. It's strange, actually, how reality sometimes mimics fiction in some cases. But nevertheless, this is a wonderful day for America. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Dayton, Ohio, Steve, you got the last word in this hour. Fire away.
Michael, great honor. You know, my father served, I served, my daughter did two tours in Iraq, and my son just got into ROTC. I just got to say, my hat's off for one day to Obama. Even the worst golfer in the world sometimes gets a birdie.
See, now that's a dignified way to look at things, Steve. It doesn't threaten you to say he did the right thing because you still agree with him on all of his social and economic policies, and you will continue to do so. And again, I want to leave you with another word, everyone else listening. The next time you meet a liberal who starts gloating, say, I thought yesterday you were anti-war, anti-gun, anti-violence, and now you're celebrating war, guns, and violence? Liberalism is a mental disorder.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
here are the questions for the Savage Nation today. Does the death of Bin Laden end the Republicans' chances in 2012? I mean, let's be political. I don't think this is the end of the war on terror, do you? What kind of retribution attack from Al-Qaeda is coming? Well, do you think it's time to pull out of Afghanistan? We got him. What needs to be done now to destroy the remnants of Al-Qaeda? I think that the White House should release the photos of Obi-Elb's corpse. Do you? Do you really think Islamic law should have been observed in dealing with this terrorist, Osama bin Laden? And do you really believe he was buried at sea? Now look, Osama bin Laden has been killed. It is a victory for America, and we have to thank Obama for having the brains and the guts to have gone after him. He's dead. The head of the snake has been cut off. The man who orchestrated the death of 3,000 Americans on 9/11 has been eliminated. He was the Adolf Hitler of our time. He was the boogeyman. He was the incarnation of pure evil, killing Muslims, Christians, Jews, Hindus, and agnostics, atheists indiscriminately. Osama bin Laden was a mass murderer who couched his madness in a religion. First and foremost, we must give credit to the fighting men of the U.S. military, the Navy SEALs, that went in and took this bastard out. But we must also give Obama his due. He ordered the mission. He made it a priority. Bush never made it a priority. In fact, just 6 months after 9/11, Bush said he didn't spend much time thinking about him. Any Republican who attacks Obama now is a fool. I have called Obama a Marxist on this program, and I stand by those words. But maybe it took a Marxist to take out an Islamic terrorist. This is a huge victory for the United States of America. It changes the political landscape dramatically. Much of the Republican leadership assumed they could ride the wave of the Tea Party, continue screwing around, you know, disrespecting the people, and just cruise into the White House in 2012. Their disarray was apparent even before this, but now they've been trumped by Obama. There are still questions that must be answered. Why did Obama insist on disposing of the body by Islamic custom? Is burial at sea really allowed by Islamic tradition? What is the goal of American troops in Afghanistan now? Will they release the picture of the body? But the key point is this. It is a day of triumph. Obama must be given his due. America has achieved victory, something that we all desperately need. Now let's go to michaelsavage.com and see what made it to the news. Osama bin Laden was hiding in plain sight just near the capital of Islamabad in Pakistan. He was apparently being protected by the Pakistani military. Okay? In plain English. What does Israel have to say? The Israeli right says that Obama is a greater threat to Israel than Osama. They're afraid they're going to pay for the execution of Osama. Did Pakistani intelligence hide bin Laden? See it from the Times of India on Michael Savage, because the finger of suspicion is now pointing squarely at the Pakistani military for sheltering and protecting him. From the Associated Press, the intel that led to bin Laden came from secret prisons closed by Obama. Thank you, George Bush. You want an exclusive look inside the Pakistani mansion where the world's most notorious terrorist, Osama bin Laden, was killed? It's from ABC News on my website. Bin Laden's burial at sea questioned by Islamic scholars. Okay, well, of course. Muslim Brotherhood says U.S. troops should now quit Iraq and Afghanistan. Good luck. You want to know how bin Laden was hunted down? From USA Today. Hamas leader condemns killing of bin Laden. Shows you what wonderful fellas they are. Child suicide bomber kills four in Afghanistan. Okay, a child. A child. Over the weekend, NATO assassinated one of Gaddafi's sons and three of his grandchildren. Terrible. Why did they have to kill the grandchildren? Also over the weekend, Obama became a comedian and targets Trump at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, attended by celebrities so important, such as Sean Penn. Al-Qaeda attacks stopped by German terror bust. Good going, Germans. Here's a sad one from the New York Daily News. A group of deaf-mute friends were at a bar speaking with each other in sign language, and a gang thug mistook their deaf sign language for gang signs and stabbed them. How's that for a wonderful America? Take a look at the illegal pets in New York City. They include boa constrictors, pythons, turkeys, ducks, and iguana. You want to see white trash in the news? Take a look at the pictures of them and what they're doing. I call it white trash in the news. The 33-year-old actress who plays Betty Draper in the hit TV drama Mad Men will welcome a baby later this year, but she has yet to name the father. We're supposed to look up to her, not me. Meanwhile, at Ground Zero, we have a picture from a Michael Savage listener, Jeff Roven. Take a look at it. It's exclusive to the Savage Nation Snap this morning. Here's the latest news. We know Bin Laden is dead. He was shot to the left side of his face. We don't know who shot him. We heard that SEALs had held two rehearsals. Obama watched the raid in a Situation Room. The mission was to kill, not capture. No prisoners taken. Official is saying Bin Laden was given a religious funeral before sea burial. Obama says the U.S. carried out the operation at his direction. Sign outside Bush's Dallas home says Obama forgot to say thank you, President Bush. Pakistanis rally to pay homage to Bin Laden. Good people over there. Musharraf said the mission violated the sovereignty of Pakistan. Hamas condemns the killing of a holy warrior. And the Arabs are rioting in Jerusalem over the death. Folks, there's a war going on around the world, and the outcome of it will affect the planet for 1,000 years. You better make sure which side you're on. And you better make sure you're on the right side. That's the American side. Take a guess who has replaced Bin Laden as number one on the FBI's most wanted list. It's al-Zawahiri from Egypt. All this and more on the Savage Nation. No one knows where, let alone in the next week, the next month, or the next year. Nobody listening to this show can tell me where they're going to be in the next minute, the next month, the next year. You don't know. God has total power over us. God knows everything. God controls everything. Yeah, we have free will up to a certain point, but I'll tell you, things happen in a person's life where in the blink of an eye, you recognize how fragile life is in the blink of an eye. A child or your own life. Blink of an eye. And if that doesn't humble you, nothing will. That's all I can say. I was born humble. I live humble. And I hope to die humbly. Anyway, I got off the track a little bit, but I'm telling you what's going on in this country right now is something beyond comprehension. Let me explain it to you in another way without getting too deeply into the news. I was speaking with two pilots yesterday flying back. We were talking. Had a long time to talk. At 45,000 feet, you get a lot of time to talk. When you're closer to God, I guess you talk more clearly. And they said to me, Mr. Savage, what is it that you think is going on? You're not too popular in Washington, I'll bet, given the nature of your show and the books that you write. I said, no, neither party likes me very much because... I said, have you ever played, ever been in New York City when they used to have those illegal gambling scenes in the street, two-card monte? They said, yes. Or when the guy had shells on a table, two, three shells, and they said they would shuffle them around to look for the nut? The pilot said, yes. I said, well, in the case of the Democrats and the Republicans, there's no pee under the shell. They laughed. Both of them smiled. And then they said, well, what do you think is going on? I said, what's going on is there is a desire, a design to destroy the United States of America as a republic. They both shook their head. These are real men who fly airplanes. These are not idiots who teach at Harvard. These are not morons who write for a San Francisco newspaper. These are not social workers in New York's Upper East Side. These are men who fly airplanes. They believe every word of it. They see it with their own eyes. How do you explain that jobs are being sent overseas as I speak? That with all the outcry, with all the hue and cry from people, don't outsource, keep the jobs here, we're broke, we don't have a job. The vermin who run the major multinational corporations who own the president, own the presidency, own the Congress, are saying, you know what, screw you, we have absolute power. And we'll abuse our power. You can't do a damn thing about it. And so we'll continue to outsource until there's nothing left here, till the country is hollowed out. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Today, on the way to the radio station, I stopped and had lunch in one of my favorite places. I haven't been there for months. I was craving a high cholesterol lunch. I am so sick and tired of watching my diets. I ducked into a German bar I know, and I ate, I don't know, I ate pounds of meat. I was craving meat. Secondly, there's a lot of conflicting evidence on the cholesterol issue. It's one of the most important topics that I never talk about. I'll do it another time. It's not well understood, but it's really not the amount of cholesterol you consume. Cholesterol is very beneficial. Incidentally, this is one of the greatest shams in the history of medicine, this low cholesterol and this use of Lipitor. It's crazy, the whole thing. And I know what I'm speaking of because I've studied it for 40 years. And the evidence does not support lowering your cholesterol to reduce your risk of heart attack, incidentally. However, I mean, I wanted a high meat diet, so I had this huge meat diet. Then I'm coming out of the restaurant, literally feeling much better. All of my anxiety was gone. I mean, your food can be a phenomenal sedative, incidentally. Lean diets produce people who are, you know, skittish liberals, people who eat, you know, vegan, vegetarian. They think they're healthy. Half of them are crazy half of the time. They're deficient in nutrients. They're deficient in iron. They're deficient in carnitine. They're deficient in many nutrients, and they don't understand why their perceptions are the way they are. Nevertheless, I go through the Embarcadero Center, which is an upscale, you know, office set of office towers, and there's some, you know, men's stores in there that I don't see many people shopping in, and they're having a crazy sidewalk sale. Like high-end goods, like, are in carts, and it says no reasonable offer refused, and it will take any price, best price. So this is, like, right up my alley because I grew up, you know, as I said, poor, where you bargain for things. I felt like I was in a souk in the Middle East or back on Ludlow Street in New York back when I was a kid. Well, you know, it was astonishing. So I start rifling through the shirts and the belts. I don't know what I was doing, but I got caught up in the frenzy of it. And I saw a pair of gorgeous gloves. So the guy says to me, they're deerskin gloves. I said, how much do you want? He said, they're $85. I said, I'll give you 10. He says, 20. I said, 10. He said, I'll take it. So I have these deerskin gloves that are too big for me, but they're beautiful. Maybe I'll give them to someone who I know with big hands. Then I happen to need a new briefcase. I have one old briefcase that's 20 years old. I tend to buy nothing new. One is leather and one is incredible high-end nylon. He says, okay, originally $395 each. I'll give you blah, 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 one, two and a quarter for one. I said, how about $200 for both? He said, no, that's too low. I said, $200 for both or I'm walking and I pull out the cash. All right, I'll take it. Now, I don't know that I necessarily need these. I have an old briefcase that I got from a radio station I used to work at 15 years ago that refuses to break. It's made of some junky synthetic fiber. I throw it, I drop it, I fling it, I use it, I sit on it, I sleep on it. But I'm tired of it. So now I have two brand new briefcases. So as I'm leaving, I say to the guy, I said, hey, look, there's no sales receipt. I said, it looks like I just shoplifted these things. He said, it sure does. It sure does. He said, I won't tell a cop that you stole it. I said, I didn't steal it. I said, does everyone agree here that I paid for these? Did everyone see me give them the money? So what I'm telling, I had a good time, in other words. I ate a meal that violated my normal diet. I bargained for briefcases. What could be better? The air is so beautiful here in San Francisco. I mean, you could see why real estate is so high in the Bay Area. It's probably the best climate in the whole world. And so, as I say, I mean, I love the city, and I just ignore the politics. There's a certain area of the city I like better than any other, which is the old red brick buildings around, you know, for 1850, 60, 70 era, the old time of the post-Civil War period. Amazing, amazing area of the city that I love. So here I am. So as I say, there's a lot to be seen if you open your eyes, and you can ignore the politics of the city. You think I listen to what half of these gas bags say? Never. And Nancy Pelosi is a product of this lunacy. Here we are. Here we are. And it's a city like any others. It's a mixed bag, you know, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. Show you how insane the doublespeak has become in our country because of liberalism that's penetrated the journalism schools. Here's a headline out of the NBC New York website. Concerns for sex workers amid serial killer investigation. Sex workers are being advised to use the buddy system so that someone knows where they are. Now, certainly nobody is celebrating the death of hookers, okay? But to call a prostitute a sex worker is the equivalent of calling a junkie an injection drug user or a pimp a sex worker agent. This is getting crazier by the day. Trust your guts, said Maurice Mitchell Brody, a social worker who co-founded New York's Sex Workers Outreach Project. I don't know what that is, but apparently she's an ex-hooker who didn't could no longer attract men, so she got a job at NYU. I don't know what that means, I'm guessing. Among the strategies the group advocates are so-called safe calls. Escorts, meaning hookers, make the friends in order to let each other know where they are. And when a session with clients, session, equal to a psychiatrist now. A hooker now is equal to Sigmund Freud. Well, your session is up, sir. We have to move on. If you don't hear from me by a certain time, call the police. How is that going to help them, stupid? The guy's going to cut her to ribbons and she's going to make a call? This is insanity. So I guess this leads to the argument, should prostitution be legalized? Because, I mean, it's an interesting question unto itself. Of course, morally, you'd be against it. Socially, it's an interesting question. Should prostitutes, should prostitution be legalized, taxed, et cetera, as it is in most uncivilized countries? I mean, we could always quote Denmark, you know, a great country that is. Spineless Denmark, the descendants of great ancestors. Look what they become, those wimps and drug addicts in Holland. Can you believe what happened to the northern countries? Prostitution, drug usage, spinelessness. This is the Savage Nation. We're open for business. I'll be right back.
Savage.
David Ritgers is one of the nation's leading policy experts in defense and homeland security. And he's also served three tours in Afghanistan as an Army Special Forces officer. He knows what he's talking about. He's on the Savage Nation today to talk about the implications of Osama bin Laden's capture and killing. David, welcome to the Savage Nation. What a great day.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
Does the killing of OBL mean the end of the war on terror? I don't think so.
No. Bin Laden's death is a small victory. It is not the end of the story, but I think it's a victory nonetheless and a time for us to reflect on the last 10 years of war that we've been going through and to see, at this point in time, has our expenditure of blood and treasure and civil liberties, is that an appropriate balance now that we have seriously degraded al-Qaeda's capabilities? They have not been able to conduct a repeat attack of the same kind of scale or sophistication of the September 11th attack since that time. And the threat has morphed into a lone wolf, copycat kind of threat where it's more about inspiring acts of violence instead of commanding acts of violence. And after the September 11th attacks, that's really what bin Laden had been reduced to. He was the commander-in-chief of very little. He was the inciter-in-chief of radical Islamic organizations and really more individuals that congregate more on the Internet and perpetrate what are almost random acts of violence in terms of trying to predict them. That is not going away, but I don't think it's news to anybody that there are people who wish ill towards America, and there will always be these kinds of people. But I think that we have to move forward knowing that that threat is really never going to go away. There's always going to be someone with a grievance against the United States and against America, but that shouldn't be the driving instinct. That fear shouldn't be the driving instinct that that creates our balance of civil liberties with regard to creating an equilibrium between liberty and security. And one thing I'd like to see is to take a hard look at the aviation security architecture that we've created. We're subjecting all of our passengers right now to screening that was really only intended for people who raised the alarm of the system. It's secondary screening for a reason because it's not meant to be applied to everyone. So that's one area where I think we could take a look at where we're probably overreacting and we're really terrorizing ourselves and doing al-Qaeda's work for itself.
Do you think we're really any safer after the capture and the killing of Osama bin Laden?
Well, I think actually we're going to be, we should be on guard for about the next week or so. I think the global travel advisory from the State Department is a sensible measure, because this is the time frame where I think we could see essentially what I would describe as almost a random act of violence, where a sort of a lone wolf or someone inspired by bin Laden might carry out probably a small scale attack, more of an active shooter kind of attack, rather than one that would involve more planning, such as a bombing. Bombing is something that generally will take a lot more surveillance, preparation of materials. We'll see. But the bottom line is that moving forward, we have to realize that there's no shortage of people who dislike America. But if they don't pose a threat on par with September 11th attacks, and realistically, there always will be someone who would be willing to go shoot up whether it's in an army base in Fort Hood or whether it's something along the lines of Virginia Tech. There are people motivated by all kinds of grievances that fall into that category. And expending blood and treasure and civil liberties to achieve perfect security, that's an impossible and irrational goal. And I think that moving forward, we need to draw the balance between liberty and security in a different place.
Why did it take so long for us to finally get bin Laden?
Well, there are several things at work here. First, ever since the satellite imagery technology got good enough to conduct some intelligence that way, and our signals intelligence got very sophisticated, we've relied on that up until September 11th. And then, of course, after September 11th, bin Laden was not stupid. He knew that signals intelligence was a large part of our portfolio. And so you'll note that the compound, even though it was worth $1 million and was a very secure location, did not have any electronic footprint where you could track it. And so he operated by courier. So played to his strength and what had been our weakness in human intelligence. And so it takes years to develop the capability to really employ a human intelligence campaign. And it took the time to do that. And I don't think that we should be surprised that this wasn't an overnight victory, where we were able to get him right after September 11th. But I think that we do have a solid team in terms of the surgical military and intelligence assets that we need to conduct this kind of campaign, and we have been doing it for years now. And really, in a way, that's the thing that's interesting about this, is that this is, in and of itself, it's news, but it's not unprecedented. We've been performing targeted killings for years now, and in fact, Obama has ramped up that portion of our counterterrorism portfolio and the kinds of operations we're conducting. And I think that the nomination of General David Petraeus to take the helm at the CIA signals an ongoing military intelligence collaboration, a campaign against international terrorists. And the raid that killed bin Laden exemplifies the emphasis on this by the Obama administration. And in many senses, this is really a continuation of Bush policies. So the success is good. It shows that we are continuing to progress in our intelligence and in our human intelligence particular capabilities.
When did we finally get the intel that helped us capture him?
I haven't heard exactly who it came from. I do know that it didn't come around until 2007. It's unclear exactly who this came from at this point. I haven't seen exactly who it came from. But I think we should note that if it came in 2007, then it was not gathered with enhanced interrogation techniques. Because all of those stopped in 2006. Until the details come out, I wouldn't draw too many broad conclusions about detention and whether Guantanamo is the linchpin that made this possible, or whether You know, this detainee could have been asked those questions, whether he was in Guantanamo or whether he was in Bagram. And it actually, it may turn out that the role of the Pakistani military in this proves to be a lot more than I think we've been told thus far. And sanction from the Pakistani military may have posed some role in the intelligence that got us to that compound.
What do you think is next for the United States in our war on radical Islam?
Well, I think that we're gonna have to take a look at this and see with the terrorism threat, how much of that is connected to the large-scale operations we have ongoing in Afghanistan. And I think that the answer is not very much. And with a few exceptions in some of the border regions along the border with Waziristan and some farther north, than that, I think that that a lot of the effort we're expending in Afghanistan is really running up against localized grievances rather than international grievances, and we may be conflating the local Afghan poppy farmer with a true international, you know, transnational terrorist threat. And I think when we confuse those two, we actually facilitate al-Qaeda's desire to link localized grievances with an international one. So I think it's important for us to know who our enemies are, and if we're applying international tools to really what is a localized grievance, then that may be a misallocation of resources that we should take a look at, transitioning out of a direct role in Afghanistan and moving as quickly as possible to an advisory role.
David Ritkers, thank you for coming on The Savage Nation.
Well, thank you for having me, Michael. You can catch my op-ed, VOBL Day, much like a VE Day and VJ Day. You can catch that in the Washington Examiner on Tuesday. And thanks for having me.
I'll be right back. Savage. Let's take the life coach questions here. These are good ones. These are good. You got to admit they're good. Let's start with New York WOR Zana. Go ahead, please.
Savage, how are you?
Good.
I have a question for you. I'm 26 years old, and I'm like a few years into my career in banking, which I hate. As the previous caller stated, the corporate life, it just makes my brain rot.
Right.
So, I have always had a desire to live in Israel. And so I finally made the decision without overanalyzing it to kind of uproot everything and leave according to my parents, the money, the opportunities that are here. And actually, we immigrated here.
Let me ask you, Zana, stop for a minute. What do you expect to occur in Israel that's not happening for you here?
Maybe a spiritual growth and maybe a little bit more.
Well, now, wait a minute. Are you a religious person? Are you currently a religious person?
I am not. No, I'm not. No.
So you feel you have to go to the Holy Land to have this religious renaissance in your life?
Yeah, you know, I feel every time I go there, I feel that people are more real. And maybe it's because they have more danger every day.
They live on the edge. The Palestinians want them dead. The Arabs want to kick them into the sea. The Iranians would like to blow them off the map. Of course they're more real. They're not walking around in zombie land. But on the other hand, what are the opportunities for you in Israel?
Well, thank God I landed an internship for the finance company.
So, oh, I mean, you already have a job? Do you speak Hebrew?
Not yet, no.
Hold it. Let's start right there. You know, back in 1979, I went to Israel with my wife and two young children. I had a son 9 years old. I had a daughter who was 2 years old. And I thought of living in Israel. For some idealistic reasons, I thought it would be the right move. First of all, it was not a very good experience to begin with. It's a pretty hard country. The people are very tough. They're not very, let us say, storybook nice people that you may be looking for. Forget about real. It's a very tough neighborhood, and it's much worse today with all of the Russians that have moved in, et cetera. Let me lay it on the line. It's gotten to be even a meaner country than it was, number one. And number two, it's even more inbred than it was, number three. And number four, it's a totally, let us say, who-you-know nation. There's very little opportunity for an outsider in Israel. So that's number two. So I'm there in 1979 contemplating whether to move to Israel, right? Because I'm an idealist and a dreamer, correct? Are you still with me?
Yes, I'm here.
So one night I'm walking around the old city of Jerusalem by myself after a couple of drinks on the cobblestone streets of Jerusalem. And I was offered a position at Hebrew University, by the way, by one of the top people there. I was going to be doing investigating the folk medicine of the Arab people in the West Bank, incidentally, which would have been probably a suicide mission. But I was one of the few people in the world who knew anything about medicinal plants, and he liked my work, and he was an expert, and I would have gone with an Arab translator and this and that, and probably a military patrol. I was walking around the dark streets of Jerusalem one night, and I heard my deceased father's voice. My father had been dead for 9 years. And here's what my deceased father's voice said to me in the streets of Jerusalem. Say, you can call me anything you want, but I heard this. He talked to me and he said to me, I was an immigrant to America and I struggled all my life so you could have a better life. And he said, you're going to take your son and make him an immigrant to Israel? You're going to make him an immigrant, a stranger in a strange land? I went home the next day. I went home the next day. And it was the best decision I ever made in my life. In other words, it was no longer about me. It was about my children. And I had no right to put my children, because of my idealism, into a secondary a place in life that wouldn't have been as good as America. You follow me?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the long and short of my answer to you is I can't answer the question. But you can find God in a hovel in Brooklyn. You don't have to go to Israel to find God. God is everywhere, isn't he?
Right, yeah.
Unless you are given towards a life that is specifically tied to the Holy Land, I don't see the reason to go there.
I see.
In other words, if you don't like the corporate life here, why are you going to like it there when you don't even speak the language? It's going to be even worse for you.
Well, I mean, I've been preparing. I've been learning the language.
Hey, let me tell you something. Hebrew is a very tough language. That is not an easy language to learn. And you're always going to be a foreigner. Do you have any family there? Do you have anybody who can grease the skids for you?
I do, yes. In fact, when we immigrated from Moldova to United States, half of my family went to Israel and half came here.
I missed that. When you emigrated from where?
From Moldova.
I can't hear you. From where?
Moldavia,
okay. Okay, so you have family there. Are they well connected? Are they wealthy?
Some are and some aren't. Yeah.
Zana, I cannot answer this question again. This is a very important question. It's a life-changing decision, and I would not hazard to guess. I would say to you, dwell upon the spiritual impetus that is driving this question, and then see where it leads you. Let's see. Here's a good one. You're never going to believe this question in a million years. Sacramento, KSTE. Kevin, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Uncle Savage, I'm 24 years old. I'm inheriting $200,000 this November. Just want to say I've been listening to you since I was 18. I got your book, Trickle Up Poverty. I love you to death. A lot of people do. So just wondering, if you were going to inherit $200,000 in November, you have no debts, what do you think would be the best investment? I mean...
Well, first of all, my young friend, congratulations, number one. Number two, that's not a lot of money in terms of the fact that you're a young man. You've got a long road ahead of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you don't want to squander it. I mean, you're not going to pull a Charlie Sheen on us, are you?
Absolutely not. My brothers, we all got it, so I'm kind of the youngest, so I'm still waiting. So I kind of can see what they've done with it. And
So your parents are giving your inheritance while they are alive?
No. It's my great-grandfather and my great-great-uncle. They owned a lot of rice farming property and stuff like that, and they're basically selling it all, and all the money and revenue from it being sold, you know, gets to the kids.
They're doing it now before Obama confiscates all of the wealth. Obama would like to make certain that there is no inheritance like it was in old Mother Russia. But let's get back to your main question. What should you do? First of all, $200,000 is not a lot of money. Have you completed your education?
I have a high school education. I'm not quite, I mean, I would love to go to college, but I'm not quite sure what field. And, you know, there's a university where I live at, but, I mean, it's pretty darn expensive, and I kind of want to be sure on what route I want.
Well, now, hold on. You know, unless you have a business to walk into, and even a family business is going to require certain skills that you're simply not going to acquire by working there. You're going to need some degree of education. You've answered your own question. You absolutely have to use some of that money to send yourself to college. You must.
Absolutely.
You must. Absolutely. There's no question. That's the best investment you could make, especially in a declining economy, by the way. Not like should I or shouldn't I. You have no choice. Because what's going to happen in this country is we're going to have a runaway inflation soon. There's no question they're going to have to raise interest rates and we're going to have an inflation. And there are going to be new opportunities, and people with education are going to have a better chance.
Savage.